Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this rainy Monday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexroad, happy Monday. How's it going? What's going on?
How's it going? Just want to, even though I don't necessarily acknowledge the existence of this sport, I just want to say three scores real quick. Detroit Tigers 4, Chicago White Sox 3. Detroit Tigers 4, Chicago White Sox 1. Detroit Tigers 5, Chicago White Sox 4 in 10 innings. That's a sweep from the Detroit Tigers of the Chicago White Sox, who suck, by the way. In case anybody wondered, the White Sox suck, and it's a beautiful Monday morning.
Anybody in that matchup scored more than 5 runs at any point? Now get the offense flowing.
Yeah, the Tigers are, if they don't pitch their brains out there.
They're just not going to win.
They're probably not going to win, yeah. So they still stink.
How about that, though? Nice weekend for you taking down the Chicago White Sox. I feel like that's a good Father's Day present to you from the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a nice Father's Day present. So thanks, Tigers. Probably still need to, unload Terek Skubal for a big haul. But now, 7.5 out, probably, 4 out of the wild card. This is where front office is. Mm. It gets a little bit interesting. We'll see.
Just need to go on a run. Put down about 15 in the next 18,
Well, then I'll be like, all right, whatever. Let's just keep Skubal. Go win the whole darn thing.
Ian, how we doing? Happy Monday morning to you.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Doing just fine, thanks. Made it in before the rain, so did good there. Had a birthday party. We had someone turn 7 on Saturday.
Nice.
We had the Father's Day yesterday. So it was a fun, beautiful weekend, beautiful weather, warm. Out by the pool, all the fun stuff. So it's a good weekend. Thanks. Happy Monday, everybody.
I've already told you two this, but I got kind of a customizable book from my 2.5-year-old.
Which is a cool
gift.
For
Father's Day,
yeah.
So basically her mom just sat there and asked her questions, and whatever her answer was, it went in the categories. And one of them, I guess, was who are some people that daddy helps? So the top 5 people that I help, my wife, her, a couple of members of my family. And at number 5, Joe Rexroad was the answer from Allison Stanley. So Joe made the top 5 of people that I help, according to the 2.5-year-old.
I'm honored. And she's a smart kid. She's a smart kid. She listened to the show and said, my goodness, help this dude. Hey, Dad, help the dude.
I did open that part of the book and legitimately started laughing just out loud. I was like, oh, boy.
Oh,
gotta send this one to Jonian later.
That is beautiful. That is
good
beautiful
stuff there.
Well, we did a quick food. We did a food crawl for Father's Day.
That was my.
So I will say, because there's no free ad, so I won't. I'm not gonna give a free ad, but I will say that there is a place in East Nashville with sandwiches that it originated in New Orleans, and it's the best po' boy I've had. And let me tell you something. I've had a many a po' boy. Katie and I split a catfish po' boy yesterday.
Ooh.
And I was like, this sauce, it's like the French dude at Bucky's. Is there methamphetamine in this sauce?
Yes.
I need to know. But, man, I wish I could tell you what it was. But I'll say it was a nice food crawl. It was nice to get a teenage child hanging out with dad.
Yeah. 'Cause,
it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy when you get that age.
Not easy. And look, to that that establishment, we are open to you doing some business here if you want to. Then we can give you some
free
shout-outs.
Yeah, if you're listening and you know what I'm saying, I'd be interested to know if anybody hears what my little description here and can come up with the name, on the text line. But, if you're listening, I will gladly endorse and eat. They have this, sweet potato, waffle fry salad with, Thai peanut sauce. This stuff is... Oh, jeez.
We got a lot going on the program today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will have his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock on the program. You can strike one Nashville Predators potential trade target off the board with a move that was made yesterday. But I do think that signals that we are getting ready to get into a very interesting NHL offseason. And we've been talking about that, but it's already starting. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show. A big deal with the Tennessee Titans that somebody may or may not have brought up last week. We will get into.
Yes.
Here in just a few minutes on the program today as well. Someone who is a friend of the show, big time fan, very high on Cam Ward. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts before we get into the Jeffrey Simmons contract, which I'm sure is not news to anyone at this point since it happened on Friday. But the Jeffrey Simmons new contract, before we get into that, what did you make of Team USA's win against Australia on Friday in the World Cup?
Yeah, man, that was awesome. And, you know, no Pulisic. And still, I just thought, especially the first half, was just dazzling, you know? It was like the offensive charges they put together, it was a lot of fun. It seemed like the crowd was unbelievable there in Seattle. And, you know, the second half got a little dicey. That happens a lot in any sport, right? You get a lead, and you're kind of like, you know, you just don't want to blow the lead. You don't want to let them get that one goal to, you know, to put pressure on you and stuff like that. I just thought Australia kind of, you know, took the play to them more, but they were able to keep it together. And, you know, then so you win the group. What, I think it's the first time the U.S. has won the first two games since 1930. So a bunch of, there's a whole bunch of since 1930, which is the first World Cup. So they can rest, like, because you really need to rest a lot of these, all these guys who have yellow cards.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, you can't, to me, I mean, maybe it depends on the person, I guess, but you know, it's not, I mean, it's easy to like accidentally run into a yellow card. That can happen, you know?
Oh yeah.
And then you'd be looking at a suspension, right, for the round of 32. So I think they're going to rest a bunch of people. I don't know why you'd play Pulisic this week. I see people arguing about that. I'm like, yeah, you can talk about chemistry and all this stuff, but the bottom line is it is a grueling. These games are now going to start coming every 4 days, every 5 days. And so seems like, I mean, and actually I'm kind of glad since it's a late start on, is it Thursday? I think it's a Thursday game.
I believe it is Thursday night.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just kind of nice. And then breakout round, I think probably against either Qatar or Bosnia, which is like, you know, you're in pretty good shape to get to the 16, I think.
I think so. Yeah. No, it was impressive to watch them do that without Pulisic. And again, like you said, I mean, this is, you're talking about two matches now that if you've watched in my lifetime, certainly, the United States men's team in the World Cup, you're just not really used to this, right? Like, it's just like, oh, they won two in a row? Wow. How about that in the World Cup? And they've looked impressive while doing it, and they've been fun to watch and all those things. So, like you said, I mean, you've already advanced to the knockout round, and we'll see where things go from there. But now it is, you know, from a managerial standpoint, you look at it and you say, all right, it's about to come a lot quicker here when it comes to how – quickly you're going to have to turn things around moving forward. And I guess that's the thing I forgot about with the World Cup, because it does feel like kind of the group stage takes forever with how many teams there are.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like bang, 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 you start to play after that. And I think the final for the World Cup is July 19th. So, I mean, if you think about it in those terms, for the teams that are going to go the distance, and hopefully the U.S. is one of them, but we'll see. But you still got basically a month left in this. So this is it's a long, grinding kind of gruel of a tournament here that you got to find your way to survive, basically, is what it is. Like, you got to find a way to get your body ready for it moving forward.
Right, because so the knockout round, I think the U.S. is definitely playing July 1st. I think that's right.
I believe that is correct.
So, like you said, so that's July 1st, the championship's July 19th. That's five games.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, you would have to win five games. So, to me, any rest right now is essential. But, I mean, there's a lot of exciting – I mean, Alex Freeman is kind of the breakout star. You know, of course, his dad, Antonio Freeman, caught touchdowns in the same spot. It was the Kingdom back then in, like, 95 or whatever year he was. But, I mean, he was – I mean, that header after he – it looked like he might have to leave the game – I mean, he's been so much fun to watch. Obviously, Weston McKennie. Tyler Adams, a midfielder, is kind of like the, you know, like the team leader. And then, of course, Balogun, the guy, the break. I mean, he is just – he's lightning out there. And then, you know, it'll probably be – I mean, I could be wrong, but I think it'll probably be the knockout round before we see Pulisic back with him, you know. And it's like, man, that's actually kind of dangerous. Now, look, I don't – we had at the Athletic, all our soccer eyes was like, okay, is it realistic for them to actually win this thing? And everybody was like, if they make the round of eight, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, and I can't speak to that. I think anybody who watches soccer closely would say, like, France, Spain, Germany, like, they're just way more loaded. But I still watch this team, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, man. It seems like they should be able to be dangerous and have offensive chances against anyone, you know?
So, you would think.
And soccer can get weird, you know? Soccer can get weird. You can get into, a 1-0 game and put a lot of pressure on a favorite.
Congratulations to Wyndham Clark for winning his second U.S. Open. I will say this. You know, it was hilarious to watch the final round yesterday. He came into it with a 6-shot lead? I think he had a 6-shot lead over Scheffler heading into it yesterday. And about through 9 holes, he looked back, and like Sam Burns was 1 back, and Scheffler was like 3 or 4 back. And the entire crowd, everybody on hand at this place, was basically like booing him. Like, he just would take a shot, he'd get booed, his ball would travel off the green, and everybody would cheer. And I'm like, geez, this dude's American. And all these New Yorkers out here are just all over him going for Scheffler. I kind of appreciate it.
So that's what it was? Because I heard about people booing him and stuff. I'm like, man, but it's because they want
Scheffler. Well, they wanted Scheffler to win. I mean, Scheffler was going for the career slam, which doesn't happen a whole lot. And this dude last year basically got eliminated from the U.S. Open and tore up the locker room. Yeah, he's kind of – yeah. So,
like
anyway.
Axl Rose of golf?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's an all right guy, but it was not a great moment from him last year. But he was – I've never seen in a non-like Ryder Cup setting somebody just getting booed out there. I was like, is this golf? What's going on?
That's wild. Yeah, and then what?
Even Scheffler in the press conference was like, yeah, you know, I don't know that I've seen that before. That was kind of weird. I appreciate the support, though.
It's like a Happy Gilmore crowd out there. Yeah, you got the beer things. Yeah.
It was wild, but he won. So he got the last laugh in the end.
I guess so. By the way, shout out to Joey from Bellevue. Immediately got the place right.
Yeah.
Good job, Joey.
Nice. Very nicely done. We got a lot going on the program today. We will get into the Jeffrey Simmons deal coming up next for the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. You know, we were discussing the Jeffrey Simmons press conference last weekend, and one of the things we talked about was, boy, he sure did seem pretty calm when asked about this contract, right? It's like, man, he just, you know, he's up there. Hey, you know, I'm not worried about the contract, and this organization's always been really good to me. And I remember one of the things I said was, you don't really see players handle this that way all that much when they're in the middle of, like, a contract negotiation. They're usually not overly willing to be, you know, complimentary of the team they're negotiating with, and usually there's some level of negotiation tactic that's going on here that makes me think, huh, are Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans pretty close to a deal here? Well, it turns out they were, and they have signed Jeffrey Simmons to a 3-year extension with more than $100 million guaranteed on this thing here. So, Joe, first off, no wonder he's in such a good mood last week. Good stuff from Jeffrey Simmons. He is secured through 2030 here now with the Tennessee Titans, and Jeffrey Simmons lands a big deal, the biggest deal for a defensive tackle in the history of the game. For Jeffrey Simmons, and this came out on Friday. So what do you make of that? The Jeffrey Simmons contract extension with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, yeah, good instincts by you. Do you think they actually had it done by then? Was it like done? Just maybe he hadn't dotted the I yet.
Maybe
Simmons.
I mean, he was awfully happy. He's like, you know, I love this place. These guys have treated me really well. I'm not going to get into some contract spat up here. Just not going to happen. Well,
I'm not worried about it. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I have a feeling it's going to work out. You know, something tells me everything's going to work out all right. Yeah, so good call on your part, and I think good call on the Titans' part. You know, the whole highest paid whenever there's like a new highest paid whatever position, then there's always going to be, how could Aaron Donald? You know, it's like, well, yeah. And there will be another, there will be someone who's not as good as Jeffrey Simmons,
yep,
who also at some point will sign the richest deal ever and on and on and on.
Yep.
So
it's about the timing.
Yes. And no, I think, like we talked about last week too, it's like, you know, you do this now and you put away every, because next offseason would be when it, you know, when maybe there'd be a little bit of like, a little bit of whatever, different feel, different vibe with the presser, maybe a little hold in, hold out, whatever. And also maybe your cost goes up, because again, he may be on the verge of a monster season here.
Yeah.
After what he did last year, and then you hear him talk about this defense and how it's different for him, and you hear Saleh and his plans for him, and you could definitely see him having a big year. And then, you know, another year of cap going up and all that stuff. I mean, I think this is a smart move. It's a lot of money, no doubt. But I think that's just about right in terms of, he's going to be 29 this season.
Yep.
So, let me try to do math. So, he'll be 33 for that final year of the deal, right? And, you know, who knows? 33-year-old Jeffrey Simmons, it may look totally different from 28, 29-year-old Jeffrey Simmons. But I think, you know, like, you don't want to get much into the mid-30s with most players. And I think this could end up being perfect. And, of course, just like any deal, if something happens, he gets hurt or whatever, you know, like the NFL deals are such that you can, you know, you're fine after a couple of years.
Well, this was what Borgonzi said, quote, Jeffrey Simmons is a pillar for our franchise, embodies what it means to be a Titan. He's the premier defensive tackle in the National Football League, and you win with players like Jeffrey. Not only is his leadership on the field what we want our program to represent, but off the field he sets the standard for our community. So, I mean, it is amazing. I was thinking about this yesterday. Go back in time 1 year ago, like 1 year ago from today. And some of the things we were talking about with Jeffrey Simmons would be like this. Well, why is he not at OTAs? Or, you know, ever since he signed that contract, he's been good, but he hasn't really been great, right? Like, that's a lot of the things we talked about. And, you know, he's had some – I hesitate to call them off-the-field stuff, but it's like, you know – throwing Andrew through the, you know, the side of the wall over there, or, you know, just maybe not responding the way you want somebody that's like a leader of your franchise to respond. And fast forward to a year later, number one, he played great last year and certainly lived up to the deal and then some with the way that he played. I thought, and we talked about this several times throughout the year, I thought the leadership part of it, he took a pretty meaningful step a year ago. And by the way, a situation that wasn't any easier. I mean, they were bad again last year, but I thought he did a good job of kind of taking a step forward in that area. To the point now where this contract extension, I think had they done this a year ago, and this, you know, this alternate reality that I'm presenting, had they done this a year ago, this would be way more controversial than it is. And basically what I've seen from Titans fans is, oh, Jeffrey Simmons got this big contract extension? Great. Awesome. Let's keep him around as long as possible.
Yeah, it is funny to look back. It wasn't that long ago, and he did and there were real, I think, concerns. Look, I enjoyed when he gave Andrew a wedgie and then signed the boxers, you know.
I did too.
At the camp. That was a great trick. But yeah, he did. He handled some things poorly. You know, being on social media too much, some of that stuff. Getting all, you know, worked up when people didn't think. Who was the signing they had? Oh my goodness. Who was just way over the hill, and it was like, ooh, what a signing, Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams,
yes,
how could
Jamal
you not
Adams.
Be excited about this incredible signing? You know, stuff like that. It's just like, yeah, get off social media.
Titans legend.
Yes, yes. It's like, hey, can you play nose guard? You were a good safety, but how about pulling guard? What about that? No, but
how good's your long snapping, Jamal?
but, yeah, he just handled some things poorly. You know, Kaharski will probably come in, and we could ask him this week and still say that he thinks sometimes Simmons, you know, isn't, like, properly, like, accountable or whatever, doesn't always have the right messaging after games. I think that's part of what you're talking about. He got better with that.
Yeah.
May not be great, but, you know, I've never thought it was – like, yes, of course, you know, you want someone in that position to always just fall on the sword and say, nope, it's on me. That's it. And sometimes Simmons was pissed that, like, someone in the back end, you know, gave up a big play that they shouldn't have given up or something. And so, you know, I never thought it was, like, all that big of a deal. I thought being on the social media and all that stuff was the bigger issue.
Agreed.
So, yeah, grown up a little bit. But the bottom line is you have a season like that, and it requires you to change your body, which is not easy, which requires a lot of discipline. And I think it's all pointing to that. And so now, I mean, I think he's obviously Cam Ward has got to be his team here moving forward. That's the hope. But you're also still waiting to see what he is as a player. So in the meantime, I think Jeff Simmons is as primary a leader as they have.
Like, he's as primary of a leader as they have. If he is close to what he was last year, I mean, who knows, maybe even better than he was last year. You're talking about an elite player. And, you know, the deal itself, I mean, the Titans didn't have to do it right now. So that's, I guess, where I would ask, if you're a Titans fan, like, is there any hesitancy? Like, would you like to see him in this Robert Saleh defense go out and do what he did last year again and stay healthy again before you're giving him this next deal? Because, you know, that's probably where the only hesitancy would come from, is, all right, does he get through this next year healthy again too? And then you're feeling, you know, pretty good about the body changes and staying healthy and all those things. But, you know, the production on the field last year, you can't argue with. It is what it is.
Yeah. Like, I mean, sure, like, if you're the Titans, it's like, it would have been, yeah, would have been good to see this one more year, get confirmation. But again, then your price may go up.
Yep.
Your term may go a year later. You know, and also it's just, I mean, then you're going to have to possibly deal with all the stuff that's done now. It's over.
Well, by the way, sometimes you just get it done, you know, as an organization. Like, there, I think there's a time and place as an organization to try to play the long game and see if you can get the best deal possible for yourself and see what that looks like and all the things. And then every now and then you run across some players where you're like, no, let's just go ahead and get this done. And I think Simmons is a good example of that.
It is. No, I think it's smart business. And certainly, again, like, if they're bad this year, people are going to bring up the cap space.
Sure.
You know? But it's when you have it, something like this is a lot easier to do too, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's I'll be interested to see if anybody has any issue with it. I'd be surprised.
We'll take your thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons deal with the Titans. Is there any hesitancy at all on this deal? Plus, if he is a great player for the next 2, 3, 4 years, where do we think Simmons starts to rank in terms of all-time Tennessee Titans? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage on 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons contract, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Florida says, Big Jeff's a beast. Deserves it. Now get him some more help. I don't know how much more help he's going to be getting now in the offseason, but hopefully some organic help, Joe, as I like to call it. Like, these guys that you've drafted in the first and second rounds the last couple of years, organically coming in there,
helping.
John Franklin Myers, who you've already signed. I mean, look, frankly, there is a scenario this year where you look around on the Titans defense and Big Jeff's got a lot of help. If things break their way, he could have a lot of help out there.
Yeah,
we'll see.
He's got a coach who knows a thing or two about defense, and I think Franklin Myers is going to be a really good help. Yeah, the edge, like, how much help is he getting on the edge? That is probably the biggest question about the defense, one of the biggest questions about the team. But I feel like the linebacking has a chance to be pretty good, and secondary, solid, you know?
Healthy on the
TD, talking about Kevin Winston, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if that's true, I know they're talking about Tony Adams too, and like, you know, there's trying to get him involved. But I mean, if TD's right about Winston, you know, that's that all of that also helps Imani Hooker look better too, play better.
Jay in Clarksville says the Titans have to pay the money to somebody. A worthy left tackle isn't going to just fall from the sky. So it might as well go to somebody who's produced and has potential to produce in the next few years. Also, it shows other players that you may be trying to get in free agency that were not cheapskates and that will pay you for production. This is from Jay in Clarksville.
Yeah, I saw I think it was A to Z had something. I saw, you know, this should blow up the narrative that the Titans are cheap. I mean, look, yeah, I think this is an obvious move, and I don't think this is like some, I understand, and agents love it. Highest paid defensive tackle of all time. So you could look at that and say, see, but I also think that this is not some outrageous overpay to me. You know,
no,
he happens to be top of the market. It's his turn. So the cheapskate thing. I mean, you're not gonna like whatever you think of it. If you want to put it all on personality or how he acted during the time, you can if you want. It was a huge mistake. You know, the AJ Brown thing. That's where something like that comes in. Because the bottom line is, if they had been willing to pay him what was absolutely warranted to pay him, then he wouldn't have had all that crap that was going on, right? You wouldn't have had the whatever the Instagram thing with Deebo Samuel's mom or what. You know, if you just pay him and go ahead and realize what you have, so is that more of a misunderstanding of what they had, or is it just cheapness? I don't know, but that's where something like that comes in, right? I mean, I've never thought the Titans, the only franchise in the NFL that I think really has a reputation is Cincinnati Bengals, and I think they've earned it. Like, when you make your coaches be your scouts in the offseason, like, that's tremendous.
Yeah, like, I don't think the Titans are cheap. I think you've had one situation with A.J. Brown that they totally mismanaged. And, frankly, since then, I mean, look at the players that they've had. They've not really had a position where it's like,
yeah.
I mean, how many good players have they had to pay a lot of money to?
Exactly.
Not very many, right? I mean, this guy's one of them, so he's gotten his money. But
they paid Lawan when it was it was time to pay Lawan.
They might pay Skoronski.
Yeah, like
Skoronski.
I don't think that this has been some chronically cheap organization when it comes to player contracts. I just don't think they've had very many good players, right?
Like, you could look back on what turned out to be a good move. They decided not to pay Corey Davis.
Yeah.
They decided to let him walk. Yeah. And the Jets did pay him. And that's, there you go. There's the New York Jets for you. I mean, but it was debatable. Like, we were debating at the time. I mean, you could have made the case. Derrick Henry, again, that's not, right? That's not.
And even then, you're talking about a running back. Like, it's just not the same.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. And when the Titans did pay him, by the way, there are people around the league, including Mr. Wedgie over there. I think we could start calling him that. Who was like, "How could you pay a running back?"
Sure, but, love that.
Maybe watch football. You know, yeah. Good thing they paid him.
JC and Gillisville are wondering if Big Jeff is past Rex Road in salary. No, he's got to sign about two more deals before he's going to pass Rex Road.
It kind of depends on if you're counting endorsements and stuff, and plus, like, my Swiss bank accounts. You know, the math gets a little hazy. It's close.
Closer. There's a reason that the red PT Cruiser stopped by Rex Road's car. It wasn't random.
He's like, look at this guy.
Oh, he screams money.
Yeah, right. He thought I had like the Pulp Fiction briefcase where you open up like, no.
There's just money falling from the sky
around
Rex Road.
Yeah, so it's a good question. Good question. It's getting there.
I actually thought Derek Mason on DVD made a pretty good point on Friday. How much does the defensive rotation under Saleh, would Jeff have been unhappy? Give it, like, if the rotation played out and Simmons,
and he hadn't been signed?
And he hadn't been signed. And he plays in the rotation and he's not playing as much as he had originally thought or hoped.
Yeah.
Does this help,
ease that,
calm down any negative feelings towards
maybe
the rotation?
That's a good point because obviously you're still working to get that last deal. That's what this is, right? This is your last bite at the apple. It's a big one. But if you are doing that and then you're not, now if you're doing that and you get 12 sacks, then it's like, hey, it was smart. It worked. Everybody wins. But if you're sitting there on the sideline not making some plays that you would be making otherwise, and then you're not ended up with the sack total, and it's like, oh, so now this is going to actually hurt me. Yeah, that's a good point.
We've been talking a lot about the rotation, what that does for Simmons. He's the best player. How much less is he going to play? Now he doesn't have to worry about it. Oh, I'm only playing this amount. He doesn't really have to get upset that it's going to affect his next contract.
Wants to. I mean, I know that he's type of guy who also wants to go out this year and prove to everybody, I'm the highest paid because I'm the best.
Yes.
And so he's still going to be driven to produce and have those opportunities. But, it's like at least this part of it's taken care of now. So, maybe think about how maybe you're more productive later because you cut down the workload now.
All right, so let's play this out. Let's say that Simmons over the next 2 or 3 years, and because, I mean, I think it's hard to go beyond that in these type of discussions, but let's say for the next 3 years, Jeffrey Simmons is basically what he was last year. Maybe in some years a little bit better, maybe in some years a little bit worse, but he's in the same neighborhood of the player that he was last year. When you start talking about Tennessee Titans, you know, how high up the list of like all-time Titans players do we think he can get? Because I think everybody who has watched this team since they've moved to Nashville would agree, probably should agree, that there are basically three absolute pillars of the franchise since they've been in Nashville. And that would be McNair, George, and Derrick Henry. Like, those are your three. And there are a couple other guys that are close that you could throw in there. Like, you know, you could talk about Chris Johnson. It was a short-term thing, but it was pretty good at its highest level. There are a couple of defensive guys you could throw in there.
About,
Bullock.
Right?
I mean, you could throw Byard in there. Like, there are a couple guys
Curse,
you could throw
Albert.
In there. Curse. Like, yeah. But I think pretty much everybody would agree when you're talking about Tennessee Titans. I'm not interested in Oilers. Tennessee Titans pillars to this point. It's McNair, Eddie George, and Derrick Henry, whatever order you want to put those guys in. Like, how if Simmons is that level of player for the next 3 years that he was last year, what are we talking about at that point in terms of franchise kind of icon since they've been in Nashville? Knowing that it's also defensive tackle, which is, I think, more difficult than obviously a quarterback or a running back who has the ball scoring touchdowns.
It's a good question. I think a big part of the answer is, do they have any team success while he does this?
Good question.
Because there is a limitation to being like the great player on the terrible team. And, you know, Delanie Walker was that here before they got good again, you know, but I think that's a big part of it. But yeah, if he plays like this, and again, you'd think they'd cycle up to some kind of level of competitiveness, then yeah, there's your Mount Rushmore. You know, let's do a June Mount Rushmore of Titans era. That would be it. I would be interested. I think some people who obviously love those Super Bowl teams, because Ian said it, and I think Curse is, because that rookie year was such a big part of that team going from, like, they'd been an 8-8 kind of team. Like, that was a huge part of them, along with a lot of other great players, you know, getting so close to winning a championship. And that's just that impact, and he had other good years too, but that impact by him, someone I could see making the argument still for, like, him over a Simmons if we're going to rank him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, Jeff was the centerpiece of, really, in 21, of them getting that one seed, that defense and the pass rush was, like, that was the best part of the team.
Yeah.
And they lost Derrick Henry, and, you know, big part of I mean, kind of late in the season, he was part of that resurgence too in 19 when he finally was able to get on the field. So he's had his hand in a lot of successful football too. It's just been a while now.
It's a hard comparison to make just because, I mean, especially like in McNair's case, you're talking about he won co-MVP of the league. And I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is not going to do that. I mean, defensive tackle is not going to win MVP of the league. You know, Derrick Henry, you're talking about, it felt like every game as his career went on, you looked at a list and it was like, wow. So Jim Brown and Barry Sanders and like all these all-time great players. So it's a very difficult comparison to make. I don't really know that there's anything he's going to be able to do, maybe other than like being the best player on the team that wins the Super Bowl, to elevate himself into like that status. But, I mean, if you start to look at players that are exclusively like Tennessee Titans era players, and if he's what he was this past season for the next 3 years, I mean, they really haven't had a whole lot of players like that when you really get down to it. So, like, he's already probably higher than people would think on the list. I just wonder if he gets, you know, the 3 years in him at this type of level, what we end up talking about with Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, I think at that point you're probably definitely talking about, Joe, like a, you know, a Ring of Honor player for the Tennessee Titans, and he may be, you know, knocking on the door of that anyway. But
no,
I think
question.
You're definitely in that type of neighborhood if it continues this way for the next few years.
Yeah, I think you have to be – I do think of, like, Ndamukong Suh for a few years in this league. Well, you know, at that position was, you know, I think one of the most effective dominant players in the league. Like Aaron Donald, Simmons is not going to have a 20.5 sack season. Like Aaron Donald was a freak at that position. That's, you know, like,
well, he's one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, that's just not Simmons. But you know, like you look at Chris Jones, you know, right now, and a guy like that. It's funny because Chris Jones also, by the way, has been an incredible player, but talk about being overshadowed in your own franchise, yeah. You know, by the other side of the ball. But, no, I mean, if he's got more of last year in him, and then you start looking at the whole thing and add up together, yeah, it's not easy to have. You know, we're talking about a 10-year-plus career. Like, I'm looking at Donald's career right now. Now, of course – where is he? Coming back? Is he definitely coming back?
I don't know.
What's the deal with that? So he had 10 seasons, 10 unbelievable seasons with 111 sacks and all that stuff. You know, Simmons is, if he plays out this contract, he's going past 10 years. That's not easy to do in this league. At that position?
Nope.
At that level of play, if it's that or close to it for the next few years, that's pretty special.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your reaction to get to on the Jeffrey Simmons front. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Ian bringing a little corn back. I don't know if we need to have a corn day here on the show, but it's heavy stuff.
It is. Yeah, they kind of rock it out, man.
Would you rather have a corn day or a Maroon 5 day?
We were having a discussion during the break about Marilyn Manson and corn. We were watching Charmed, of course. And so, yeah, a little corn coming back, a little old school here.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I'll take a corn day over a Maroon 5. I'll take eating raw corn over listening to Maroon 5.
A lot of conversation on my personal text line about how much people enjoy just listening to you freak out about bands.
Do
out
they?
There. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
I think we might need to do it more.
Sometimes I'm like, wow, maybe I need to shut up a little bit, huh?
I would just love to know how many times Joe has ripped a musical act that has been like driving down the road in our city, you know, Music City.
No.
It's listening to the show and it's just catching strays. It's like, wow, what'd I do? I'm just in the car.
That's true. But then you also hope that, like, you know, like, somebody from Men Without Hats is driving around when I say how much I love them. You know,
it's true. Like
there's love given too.
It's true.
You know, but yes, I actually like the thought of Scott Stapp, who mispronounced my name, just randomly tuning in, and him like
allegedly not on purpose.
Yeah, butchering that name because he actually has heard every single time that we've ripped him. Not we, that I've ripped
again.
Him.
You keep throwing the
we. I know.
There's no
I
we.
Know.
Just one person on this show. Just one.
Yeah.
Taking your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons at 615-737-1025. Again, I think when, you know, throwing this question out there, if he plays at this level for the next 3 years, you know, how high up the franchise list of great Titans is he going to be? I say it again, like, I think it's going to be really hard to pass, like, you know, McNair and Derrick Henry. And some of that's just because, I mean, those guys are touching the ball, scoring touchdowns, right? And Jeffrey Simmons has scored some touchdowns. Probably not going to make his living scoring touchdowns for the Tennessee Titans over the next few years. So it's different in that way anyway. But I think if he's what he was this past year, that's a heck of a disruptive force. I mean, he played great this last year. And now that you've got Franklin Myers with him, you hope some of these edge rushers come in. Like, I'm excited to see what he can do in this defense here. And I know some people, like, when these big deals get signed – we'll have fans text in that are worried about, like, all right, well, he's got the big contract now, so is he going to approach it the same? Like, I think we've seen enough of Jeffrey Simmons at this point to feel comfortable about the approach that Simmons is going to have. Like, I'm not worried about Simmons getting the money and then just being like, all right, well, I got it. So who really cares anymore?
Yeah,
I think that has happened before in professional sports.
Sure.
I mean, Simmons is not that guy.
No. I mean, the thing about Simmons that I've always said is, like, I mean, the guy desperately wants to win and compete, and he's, you know, I mean, he plays on the edge, man, and that's never changed. And he's been paid. He's already been paid. He got his second deal, and sure, maybe at that point you could have said to him, well, you could get another one, but that's getting paid. He already
yes.
got paid. This is the reward for not being like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what this is. This tells you how he reacts to being paid. So no, I like I said earlier. I mean, he is going to want to prove to everybody this year that that he deserved this, and he'll probably find like the one Titans fan on the internet. Although I don't spend too much time with this, Jeff. But he'll find someone who said he shouldn't have been paid, and then he'll like put that person's face in his locker.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at it every day. Hopefully it's Kaharski. Hopefully Kaharski rips the deal on Wednesday, and he's got an easy target all year.
That would be an easy target. It'd be awesome. I need to ask PK. Like, is PK blocked by Simmons? Do we know? Like, does Simmons follow PK? I mean, I'm not on Twitter anymore, so I couldn't tell you, but. I need to get to the bottom of this. I would have to think the list of Titans players over the years that have like blocked PK is relatively substantial.
Yeah,
not just Deion Lewis.
Well, especially because he used to, you know, which I absolutely shamed him out of. I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Oh, tagging people.
Oh yeah.
Oh, looks like Bishop Sankey fumbled again. At Bishop Sankey fumbled.
Thanks, Paul. Like, seriously, he would sit there all game, and he would tag them on all his tweets. It's like, dude, no one wants – like, and it was like tiny little, like, play-by-play, yeah. You know? It's like
– Tajay Sharp dropped a pass.
And that was at the time when it actually was Tajay Sharp and not Tajay Spears.
Yes, I almost said Spears. Yeah. And he would, like, the whole game, he would tweet about the game, and he would tag everybody. So there might be someone who was, like, tagged, like, eight times in his stupid play-by-play. I'm like, Paul, I understand you think it's like, oh, you need to be accountable to these people. No one wants this. Don't ever do it again. And finally, he kind of sunset. You know, he tried to defend himself, and he sunsetted out of doing it. So, God, what a clown.
You remember the time where he was like, if you're not in the same, like, zip code, stop tweeting about the game and all that stuff?
No.
Like, yeah, good luck with that.
Let's not get that going again.
Good luck with that. I mean, there's a whole manner of things we could bring up on Wednesday to get him reignited.
Well, since we're speaking about him, Chris on the YouTube chat on the music says we need a Rush day for PK, which totally made me forget that he actually said that Bush is better than Rush. Did he not? He actually said that?
I think I recall that, yes.
He said Bush is better than Rush. I mean, just let that sink in. Society, let that sink in. Like, no
I mean,
one
even
thinks
for me,
that.
That's a little bit spicy, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like, Rush... like their prime was well before you were born,
yeah.
But you can recognize like they're good.
They're good.
And Bush, I mean, come on.
Trevor says Alante Taylor 1,000% blocked PK after that one press conference asking about him giving up touchdowns.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
hey,
maybe.
Alante, have you ever covered anyone ever? How'd you get this money?
Now I'm trying.
I can't wait till the first touchdown he gives up this year. PK be like. What are we doing?
All this guy does is give up touchdowns. Touchdown Taylor.
So there's no way to check, though, right?
No, man. This would have to be a self-policing like thing that he would do.
Kaharski has to check for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad. They should add that to Twitter. It's a total cesspool anyway. Let us see who everybody's blocked. You know?
Be good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A move in the National Hockey League yesterday that we've been talking about here on the show as a potential target for the Preds. Well, you can strike that one off the list. We'll get into that coming up next as I mute myself. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.